Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
Good evening, our fellow lovers out there, and hello, Sacramento. We want to thank the KUBU family and all our listeners for turning us in. We want to thank those of the Metal Gods Radios for fans for staying tuned in on that one. So thank you for that. And we want to welcome the Center of the Universe people who've been listening to Mr. Michael Mercury just before us. And to all of those who had no idea what we're talking about, yes, we are live. We are on 96.5 FM in Sacramento. It's KUBU, low power FM, community access radio. It's a fun little thing. If you are in downtown Sacramento and you are listening to us now, send us a note. Send us a line at late night love. Love at latenightlove.us. God, I'm just hitting wrong buttons all over the place over here. You can find us at latenightlove.us. Let's get this right. And you can send us your questions, comments, or letters to love at latenightlove.us. There we go.
Yeah.
I took a really long nap this afternoon. And I've just been kind of all discombobulated ever since because I had about 2.5 hours to do 3 hours of 3.5 hours worth of stuff. Plus, I had to eat dinner in there. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah. So I had messed up. I suppose I was tired. But anyway, in this episode of Late Night Love, we tackle some of the most burning questions from Reddit and from the Lovosphere. From workplace dilemmas to parenting challenges, electric vehicles to sippy cups, the ultimatums to sperm donations. Oh, I didn't see a sperm. Okay. We cover it all. Tune in to hear our honest and candid opinions. On these topics and more, whether you need some advice, laughs, or some company. We're good at being company. We're here for you. Late Night Love, the podcast that keeps you warm at night. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to have to remember that one. I'm going to have to save it or something. That's actually good. I like that.
That was a good one.
I'm going to have to. That one rolls off the tongue. All right. So, got anything before you want to start at Lovey tonight? We got anything you want to?
Well, I've been grieving. I had a loss recently. And I'm going through the stages of grief. I'm finally over the shock. And now I'm kind of in the anger stage. And yeah. It's okay to be. I'm not angry. I'm a little upset with God right now. You know, He took my best friend, and I know it doesn't make sense. Why should I be angry at God? We all pass away. I mean, you know, we're not everlasting here on this earth. You know, but. There you have it. I'm a little upset from time to time. It doesn't last. I don't feel the need to, you know, vent. But, you know, I check in. You know, I don't understand why I got, you know. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, and God still loves me like a good father would. You know, He's patient, kind, and everlasting, you know, so.
Well, what was it when we were raising children, right? Your children would get mad at you, and what was your answer? So
it's okay.
You can be mad at me all you want. It's fine. You know, I love you anyway, and so it's okay.
Yeah.
And you know, we all have our own personal beliefs. Mine is I don't have an opinion on God one way or the other, but my sense is no one being can control everything. You know, sometimes we have. Our existence is exactly what it is what we make of it. And, you know, and we can hope that God can find the attention of us. You know, we can find His attention. But just like a random chance, Sometimes it's just random chance when you find God's attention. I don't know. I don't have answers to these things, but I think that's actually...
Well, I seek God. I'm trying to figure him out, and I seek him in Scripture. And that makes me feel closer to him and not as upset. So I've been diving into Scripture quite a bit. And, you know, I don't sit down and read for half an hour, you know. I go in and I'll read a chapter, you know, quite often. Just I'm in Psalms at the moment. And then it works for me. Is all I can say.
Yeah, it's the grieving process is unique for each one of us.
Yeah.
And I think the real secret to the grieving process is to move through it. It's not to get stuck. As long as you're moving through it.
You know. I'm processing my emotions. I'm trying to pay attention to them while not. So I don't want to get stuck.
Yeah, that's what happens. You don't want to get stuck in those. All right, so talking about let's get out of stuck. Let's start with our first work question. So do you want to?
Yeah. All okay, right. Work questions. I start work at 9. How do I make myself a morning person? Oh, good heavens.
You don't. You're never going to. If you're not a morning person, you're never going to be a morning person. But you can try to adjust the rest of your life the best you can. And then past that, you just kind of accept it. And you work towards a place where you get a schedule that's eventually you get to find a job or a schedule that's more conducive to your natural body clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, and you're talking 9, so that's not even early for a lot of people. 9's a late day for people who start work at 7 or 6 or 5. But, you know, there's morning people and there's not morning people and there's night owls and there's all these various things. So go to bed a little earlier, do some catch-up sleep on the weekends, and really is just try not to drag the negativity. Try not to become the person you don't want to be around, you know? It's okay to be kind of grumpy in the morning. Just keep it to yourself. And, you know, you don't want to be the negative person. You don't want the negativity swirling in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It already stinks. You try so make the best of it. And, you know, acceptance. But find a path out. Find a way so you can find a job that you work hours that are more conducive for you. That's the long-term solution.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I bring up something who I think is drinking at work?
That's an interesting phrasing.
Do I bring up something who I think is drinking at work?
Yeah, that one needs an editor. I'm suspecting they think someone is drinking at work, and you bring it up to somebody. And it really, the answer is probably yes. I mean, unless you're a gardener or something where it doesn't really matter, the person's not the driver. But as a general rule of thumb, you shouldn't be drinking at work. And if someone is drinking at work, they may have an alcoholism problem. And, you know, sometimes they need to hit rock bottom. You know, I don't know. But that's one of those, it's a very difficult decision. Right? And you have to be, what the other thing is, you cannot be wrong. If you're going to bring it up. So you damn well, you better not, I think, it should not be in this vocabulary. It is an is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What's next?
I seem to have landed myself right in the middle of a workplace politics situation. Okay, this is a family-owned business, and brother and sister are using the workplace as their power battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually easier than you think. You don't play. Just do your job. Just do the job. You'll work out in the, you know, the high road is a beautiful place. You can see everything from up there. Just saying. If everybody else is taking the low road, take the high road. And whatever happens, you can live with yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my suggestion is to take the high road, do the right thing. You know, don't play the don't play. Right? The enemy of your enemy is not your friend. Right? But they're also not your enemies. So you just do your own thing. You do what you think is right. And you go on with your life knowing that you've done it right. That's it. All you can do is the right thing. That's it. Don't play politics. Just do the right thing. Okay.
Should I talk about my hours? Okay, now this person has a paid lunch.
Uh-huh.
And he happened to find out that everybody else is not getting a paid lunch.
Then no, you shut up. It's just like if you're the highest paid person in the office, you don't talk about salary. Because other people are going to be jealous. They're going to think, they're going to not realize why you're paid more than them. Why you get special compensations.
This was all grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Is what happened. The company was sold and the person who came in went ahead and just grandfathered in everybody's rights.
Yeah.
As to what was happening at the time.
Yeah. And because they had a different contract.
Yeah.
Essentially. And so now everybody, all the new player people have a different contract. Don't bring it up. Just don't bring it up. There's no point to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to cause workplace tension. There's just not. So don't talk about that. Don't talk. You know, there's a lot of people who think you should be talking about your pay. And you know those people who are. Those are people who are paid less because they either work less in terms of produce less or they cost more to employ. They require more supervision. And guess what happens? That comes out of your total compensation package. So people who require less supervision, you know, get paid more, generally speaking, than people who require more. Okay.
Okay. Resting unintentional smirk face at work, and she doesn't know what to do about it.
Just don't do anything about it. It's called your face, right? Just because other people think that it's resting itch face, we can't say the whole word. I suppose we probably could, but we won't.
Which?
Yeah, sure, there you go. Yeah, that's all it is. It's just some people have that look on their face when they're at rest, that they're in a bad mood or something. You know, everybody else will get used to it and won't pay attention to it anymore. That's eventually.
And you'll grow out of it. This is a fairly young person. I used to look angry all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I was perpetually angry, is what everybody thought.
Yeah, well.
I wasn't.
Maybe you were, but it's just the way it was. That's why my thing, don't worry about it. You overthinking of it, it's going to make it worse. So, I mean, if you want to trial smiling a little more, getting used to smiling a little more, I suppose you could work on it, but my guess is you won't go very far. Just you'd be spending more time than it's worth trying to force yourself to have a little smile. And it'll come off weird because your half your face will be smiling and your eyes will still be, you know, in their resting fit. Just go with your normal face. Just let it be. There's no good way around that one. Okay, what do we got?
Should I disclose my sick leave at an interview? They had an extended sick leave in their work history.
Yeah.
And should they bring it up?
No. You don't have to discuss your health at a work interview. I mean, if there's a big gap in your resume, you may want to discuss it because it can actually become a story of perseverance and overcoming challenges, and that's attractive. But you don't have to bring it up. Mm-hmm. You know. Okay, what's next?
Can I refuse to train a new hire?
Well, you could explain to your boss that you might not be the best person. Uh-oh. We lost.
We lost a mic?
It said so. All right, let's try it again. It says we're back.
Okay, we're back.
Hopefully. Okay. So you just redo that.
Can I refuse to train a new hire?
You could explain to your boss that you don't want to do it, or you don't think you're the best person to do it, or whatever. But can you refuse? I suppose you can. I mean, you can refuse to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the consequences of that refusal? Is the question. You know, or are there consequences of that refusal? You know, so it depends. You can, sure. But what does it mean? Long term. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's.
Products to handle BO in the office. This person, this coworker, doesn't use products. Uh-huh. For religious reasons.
Okay.
So how does everybody else deal with that?
Well, you don't need to use products to not have BO. You just need to clean yourself on a regular basis, for most people. Oftentimes what we think of BO is actually clothes that smell. They're poorly washed clothes. Mm-hmm. Is what actually is happening. And we think of it as BO, which is why the person's confused. And so, so what do you do? I don't know. Work upwind? I don't know.
A fan?
Yeah. I'd say you can do candles, but the little scent things. You can send quiet notes to HR and let someone else deal with it if you're in a big enough company. Is probably the easiest way to do with it, to deal with it in a realistic sense. So, that would be my silly suggestion. So, anyway, yeah, I don't know. There's no good way to deal with that except as diplomatically as possible. All right. We'll call it diplomatic.
Diplomatic, yeah.
Yeah, we'll call it diplomatic. Okay.
Okay, we have some parenting questions.
Yeah, we're going to get halfway through these or so before we have to cut for our break on the...
Okay.
At least on the radio side, anyway. All right, so what's our first parenting question?
How much do you spend on birthdays? Okay, they're lamenting the whole... You know, big, huge birthday parties where you spend like anywhere from $500 to $1,000, you know.
Then don't do it. You can have whatever kind of birthday party, birthday celebrations, birthday spending you want. You're the freaking parent. You get to make the decision. Nobody else in the world's opinion matters. Right? If you just want to give them a cupcake with a candle on it and say happy birthday, great. If you want to have... If you as a family decides you don't want to celebrate birthdays, which lots of families don't, you don't have to celebrate birthdays at all. If you want to have a big, huge blowout and invite the whole city to come in and have a big grand bash, more power to you. You are an adult human being. You get to make these decisions. So just decide. Decide what you're going to want to do. You know, maybe you have a big bash on the big birthdays, the double digits, the 10s, the 13, you know, or the 16, you know, that kind of thing, 18. You pick a couple ages that are big and meaningful, and the rest, you have a small party with family, and they can go off and do with their friends what they want to do. It doesn't matter. Just pick something that works for your family and move on.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the bounce house and the party and No, you don't need any of that. You can. If you want that, great. But you get to decide. That's the great thing about being a responsible adult. You get to make these decisions. What the neighbor does doesn't matter. Right? It's not about them. It's about you. So spend however much you choose to spend. Just make an actual choice. Have a philosophy behind it. It should actually mate with your parenting philosophy. These things go hand in hand. You know, there's anomalies in every philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, you should have a general philosophy that answers these questions for you. Okay.
4-year-old daughter is terrified of commercial toilets.
Oh, like the toilets in restrooms and things?
Yeah.
Well, because those things make those big scary sounds.
Well, they do.
Yeah, it's a big scary sound. I get why 4-year-olds would be scared of it. It's a perfectly reasonable. You know, they don't know. It sounds like they're going to get sucked down in there. They're little. You know? Yeah, you're big. You don't have to worry about it. I'm little. It's a perfectly reasonable thing. You know, the best way at 4 years old, the best way is to try to calmly explain to her that there's really nothing to be afraid of. The worst thing you can do is steal your toy, which they won't like, but at least it puts the fear into something rational, and now they're afraid of their toy getting lost rather than them. But that's one of those, they'll grow out of it.
They will.
Yeah. She may never like them, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But she'll grow out of them. Even though there are adults who don't like using, you know.
Public toilets.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody likes using public toilets, but for most people, it is what it is. But
it's a necessary evil.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Am I wrong for making my kids prepare their own dinner if they don't like what I make?
That's what I did.
That's what we had to do, man. Yeah.
You don't like it?
Go make yourself a sandwich, yeah.
Make whatever you, yeah. There's food if you want to make it. Actually, you know, in many respects, you're teaching them a skill. Teaching them how to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I say go for it. Continue to do it, whatever it is. Don't second guess yourself on that kind of thing. Okay.
How do you come to terms with being a single parent? She has this idea that she's not a family now. And she misses being a family.
Well, no, the family is just differently structured.
Mm-hmm.
That was an email. The family's just differently structured. But what she's lamenting is she doesn't have someone to share her life with. And we all know when you have someone to share your life with, another adult human being to share your life with, it makes life more complicated but easier at the same time.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is that her last relationship didn't work. And so now she's got this task ahead of her. And so this is actually one of those things. It's that the minute you accept it, it becomes easier. Stop fighting it, because then you're just fighting yourself. Fighting reality just requires a lot of energy. So don't fight it. It is what it is. And so you've got to go from where you are from here. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be lonely nights, but fill them as best you can.
Yeah.
You've got a child to fill it with. You know? And hopefully you'll find when you become strong and capable single parent who doesn't need somebody else, you can be highly attractive to somebody else.
Yes.
That's kind of how that works. And so when you come at a relationship from a position of strength, you can find someone who's in a position of strength and you come together. So, yeah, there's no quick answer as how to come to terms with it. I can't give you a 5-step plan. It's not how it works. It's a mindset you work on. Okay. Almost 5-year-olds using sippy cups, huh?
Well, she's got twins.
Uh-huh.
And they're almost 5.
Okay.
And she cannot give them a cup. they will spill it.
Yeah.
So she just circumvents it all and gives them sippy cups. But now she's feeling they're getting a little old for this.
Yeah.
So she's wondering what to do.
You transition out of sippy cups in controlled situations. When they're sitting down for a meal. And you make them put it off from the side, just like you teach them how to do it without spilling. That's how you do it. Now, during the day, when they're just getting a random drink, you put it in the sippy cup and you let them drink it like that. But you have to teach them how to properly use a cup. And the best time to do that is at a sit-down meal.
Yeah.
And so you slowly transition. So at sit-down meals, you give them their cup, a regular cup. You don't fill it all the way. You fill it halfway, so they have to practice. You know, you teach them not to put it near the side, not to put it near where they use hands go. So that's the main reason why your cup goes on that side of your plate, so you don't accidentally knock it over when you're making gestures and talking. That's the reason. You know, there's reasons for these things. You know, we don't get taught these reasons anymore, right? We just get told this is how you do it. We forget that the reason you don't put cups near the end of the thing is because it's not really because it's not that you're going to knock it over. It's why you're going to knock it over. It's because, right? Just like yeah. I'm talking, I'm going to smash it. Just sitting here having a conversation. And so you put it off, you put it up to the top.
Yeah.
Basic things that we don't think about anymore because we were taught at 5 years old to put your cup. You know, that's what happens. They're not that far behind, whatever the heck that means. It's perfectly normal. As my second part to that question, you're dealing with a perfectly normal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
How to balance validating kids' emotions with getting them to do what they need to do.
Okay, first, you're going to have different techniques depending upon the child. This is one of these things. There's no simple, unique answer. You can make some generic answers that, you know, with boys, you teach them time and place, right? One of the things we do with boys is we teach them you don't show their emotions now, but we never teach them when to. Right? You're right. We don't have time right now to deal with these emotions because, you know, we're dealing with an emergency, we're dealing with something, and we can't be emotional because we have to make rational decisions and work through it. And then you deal with the emotions later. And as men, we're terrible about dealing with the emotions later. Right? We're just not good with it. But the flip side of that is how we deal with our emotions isn't going to be the same as women are. And so if you're expecting us to deal with our emotions the same way as women do, we're going to fail at that, too. So one of the tricks, at least for men, is learning how to deal with our emotions our way. And oftentimes it looks like we're not dealing with our emotions. We're out building things and stuff. But we are actually dealing with our emotions when we're building things and fixing things and fiddling in the garage and kind of accomplishing nothing. No, we're thinking.
Is that what Grandpa was doing?
When he was fixing things that didn't need to be fixed, and just kind of fiddling around, making stuff just to kind of make it, he's working through his emotions. He's thinking. He's contemplating. Right? Hammering is a great emotion getter-outer. It just is. I'm going to go hammer something. Why? Because I need to hammer something. And you get it out. That's what we do. Women are vastly different. They need to talk it through 6, 7, 10 times, right? And we're going, oh my God, we just worked off through. What are you, do we need to talk about this again? We don't understand, right? Because as a general rule of thumb, once we're willing to talk about it, we really only need to talk about it once, maybe twice. If during that first conversation we came up with something that was a unique view on something, I need to go think about that. Damn it. It's really what we go through. God dang it, something else to go think about. Shoot. We don't like that. So when you talk about balancing, validating kids' emotion, it's you teach them to do both. You validate their emotions while also getting what you need to do done. It's not an either-or question. Right? It's how do you deal with your emotions at the appropriate time? The appropriate time may be right now. The appropriate time may be tomorrow after you've dealt with whatever's going on. And the trick is teaching those kids how to validate their emotions while getting done mm-hmm. what you need to get done. Mm-hmm. It can't be either or anymore. That's one of the things we went from, you ignore your emotions, you get stuff done, to, we got to completely validate your emotions. It's both. You've got to mix both to become a full functional human being. A fully realized, fully functional human being. Okay, what's next?
Is it bad to let my daughter get attached to her Minnie Mouse dolly? The child is like a year and a half. Uh-huh. And she's obsessed with this doll.
Yeah. A year and a year and a half? Yes, they're going to be obsessed with whatever their favorite doll is. That's just what year and a half olds are.
That's what they do.
And on occasion, that doll may go with them for the rest of their lives. Or until it's no longer holding itself together, right?
Yeah.
It's not likely at one and a half, but it's also not unusual that that becomes a keepsake for their entire life. There's nothing wrong with it.
Many have it. I have a bear.
Yeah.
My teddy bear.
Now, if there's
when
something,
I was a child.
Now, if there's something particular about Minnie Mouse you don't like, for some reason, I know there's a bunch of issues with Disney. People have, feelings with Disney. You can swap it out at some point for a different one. It's pretty obvious. Children are pretty, once one is gone, another one will replace it eventually. You could do that. I mean, if that's more of the issue, but don't worry about it. These are the things you just don't worry about. If that's your biggest problem, with a 1.5-year-old daughter, you've got it. Good. if that's the biggest thing you're worried about, is she becoming a little more obsessed with her Minnie Mouse doll? Pat yourself on the back. Consider yourself lucky. Whatever it is you want to do, you're either doing a great job or you're insanely lucky. But count your blessings. Whichever view perspective you want to do, but congratulations from the rest of us. Yeah, because that is not a thing to worry about. So, all right.
What age should you let your kid have a TV in their bedroom? Her kids are 7 and 9.
And I'm assuming that this is not an economic issue.
No.
Because, for those who were poor, had a different, even though we probably put, because my boy shared a room, right? When the oldest was old enough to have a TV in his room, they were all old enough to have a TV in their room. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we actually had a computer in the room long before we had a TV in the room. I actually don't think we had an actual TV in the room. Because this is back in the days before, small screen, flat screen TVs.
Right.
Yeah. So, and our boy, our kids only ever had, so I don't think, but that was an economic issue as much as as anything else. So you'll just know. These are one of those questions where you as a parent have to just, we've talked about having kind of a parental philosophy a little bit earlier. And this is one of those, I went over time. All right, I'll have to piece it in. Okay, I'll have to piece in a break. This is one of those things where you need a parenting philosophy. And then you follow that parenting philosophy unless you have a reason to change from it, right? So I don't know. If I were doing it today, it would really depend on the child and their needs. My guess is your child will have a tablet or a computer or something of that nature long before they have a TV in their room. So, and it really depends where your entertainment happens. If you have a family room and a living room, right, then you're less likely to have a TV in the child's room than you are if you just have one family gathering space. Like in a house like ours, where we only have the living room, the kitchen, you know, and then the bedrooms.
Yeah.
Children are far more likely to get a TV in the room. So, you know, parents can watch sports or their movies while the children can go off and watch their entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah. Then if you have a family room and, say, a living room where you can split off, you got a gaming room or something of that nature.
Right.
So it really kind of depends on your circumstance. There's no right or wrong answer. Again, it's your answer. It's the correct one. Just make a decision based upon your parenting philosophy. Don't ask people on Reddit these kind of questions. Except do, because then we wouldn't have questions to answer. So I gotta stop telling people that. That's self-sabotaging my show. All right, so we got a couple life questions, even though some of these could be parenting questions and whatnot, but they're more life questions.
Okay. Well, okay. Just the first one. Are you disappointed with how your children turned out?
Well, in order to be disappointed about how your children turned out, you would have to have some ending imprinted on them.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if it's an axe murder or something, then yeah, you kind of should have a reason to be disappointed. But short of some catastrophic failure, I suspect no. You should, because your children turned out the way they needed to turn out if you did a half decent job. You know, they're their own person. You don't control their outcome. You can control inputs, but you don't control their output.
No.
And so, if you are, again, barring some catastrophic personality failure, and you looking back and say, okay, I might have been the cause of that, or I may have had some significant role to play, you know, or my lack of interest may have had some significant role to play in their choosing a path that, you know. But other than that, no, if your child isn't a doctor, that's not instead a computer engineer, well, that's because you thought your child should be a doctor, not because what he's doing now isn't a success. Right? Mm-hmm. If you wanted your child to be a high-powered accountant or something, or a banker, and he's a YouTuber but paying all his bills, what do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want him to be fulfilled. Satisfied with the direction of his life.
Happy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Happiness comes and goes. Fulfillment and satisfaction are something that are more permanent. For me. Happiness is fleeting, right? Because one day you can be happy, 1 hour you can be happy, and then the next day you might not be because of circumstances out of your control. But you'll still be fulfilled. That's my philosophy on that one. Okay.
My coworker only lives 3 towns away but refuses to drive me home. How can I make him show respect or get him fired?
Yeah, so you want a coworker to go out of his way to take you home and you think he's the problem. Yeah, I wonder why he won't take you home.
You're just being a little unreasonable.
Yeah, a bit of a sense of entitlement there. And then your response is, well, then now I have to get him fired. Why? Because he won't accommodate you.
You?
Yeah. You're not that important to other people. Right? And you want a lot of people to think about you when you're not willing to think about them. That would be picking up all that. Okay. All right, what's next?
Okay, why would I buy an electric vehicle when I most only average 250 miles per charge? If you charge every night or every few nights, aren't you just exchanging your high gas bill for a possibly higher monthly electric bill? Can our grid system handle it all?
Okay, now there's actually a couple different questions here. One is, all right, is your needs? How often do you need to go more than a charge that you can easily get at home? Right? 2 is the cost, and that's a current cost plus projected future cost of electricity. Remember, as more and more cars come online, the demand on electricity becomes higher, the cost will go up because it's harder to get more and more supply, especially now because we're reducing the amount, the diversity of our electrical supply. Two, the gas bills are also going to go higher, again, because of just simply supply and demand issues as more and more people go to. So that equation is a very difficult equation. That cost equation is actually quite difficult to project into the future. Mm. You can make the calculation for now, but projecting it in 4 or 5 years, we're guessing. The more interesting question is, can our grid system handle it all? And that is locally, no. Nationally, maybe, right? Depending upon decisions made from the production standpoint. It's locally. We're actually going right now in our own neighborhood, they're going through an inspection, an electrical inspection of the system, of the electrical system in our neighborhood, because as more and more people try to buy electric cars, they're finding out there's not enough wire capacity. Simple wire capacity. If everybody on our streets wanted to have an electric car and plug it in at night, the grid couldn't handle it. Not from a matter of could they produce enough electricity. There's not enough wire capacity to handle that. Mm. And handle everything else. Oh, sure, if everybody wanted to turn off all their heaters and electricity, then yes, they could. But they still want to run all that stuff, right? It's you're adding an electric car to it. So you're essentially, you're almost doubling the electric usage of any particular neighborhood if everybody plugged in a car.
Yeah.
If every house plugged in one car. And if you're in an old area, an old house, your electric panel might not be able to handle it. That's one of the things, you know, our electric panel is 70 years old. We couldn't, it'd be like plugging in a space heater, you know, just continually running a space heater for 12 hours.
Hmm.
You know, an old electrical system can't really handle that. Can newer communities? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, newer communities. But those fast charging, now that's just for, you know, the slow trickle charging. You want to do fast charging. One fast charging station, one relatively large fast charging station needs its own substation. It needs its own transmission line. They use that much electricity.
Wow.
Well, because they need it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to fit to charge 10, 12, you know, 20 cars, whatever it is, at fast charging at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like its own substation. You know, so can our grid system handle it all? No, but that's why we ramp up slowly over time. And the question whether you individually should buy a used car, I mean an electric car, is dependent upon your uses. Mm-hmm. If you generally just go to work and the grocery store, maybe church, you're probably okay. But if you're someone who does a lot of long trips and the time on those trips is important to you, then you know, something like a hybrid or something is probably a better option.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we're on to relationship questions.
All right. My 25 female, boyfriend's dead, 55 male, constantly makes sexual comments towards me. How can I make him stop? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's kind of a hard one, isn't it?
It is. It's a hard one.
One, you're just gonna have to talk to your boyfriend about it. Is my actual suggestion, and see what kind of response he gets, because it may be a family trait that you don't want to get involved with. Or the easiest way to do this is to just not spend any time around them.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to deal with it. But one, you have to talk to your boyfriend about it, because then he's the one who can talk to his dad and tell him to knock it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way to deal with it. I mean, you could, I suppose, but my guess is she knows it wouldn't go very well if she wouldn't be asking on Reddit.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a good answer, but I don't have one, so.
You'd have to really get your boyfriend to talk to his dad.
Yeah, I think that's and avoid similar.
Avoid him.
Even if he changes behavior, it's the thought processes are still there. So just you probably don't want to go. Avoid. That's one of those people you just don't want to spend time around. Is my suggestion. Okay, that's a terrible answer to that question. I just don't have a better one. Some questions don't have good answers, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right.
My 29 male girlfriend, 24 female, slept with her ex the day before I asked her to be my girlfriend. Am I stupid for feeling sick about this?
No, you're not stupid for having emotions about this. I suppose the question is, how much of a relationship was that before? The question is it a red flag or not? Oh man, that is borderline a red flag without knowing details, right? But it's also, remember, these are 24 people who are 24 today, in their mid-20s today, not mid-20s when we were children. The realm of acceptable behavior is vastly different. And so no, your emotions are completely normal. The question is, what are you going to do about them?
Yes.
Yeah, the emotions is normal.
I mean, did you talk about monogamy before?
Well, you know, clearly they weren't an official couple.
Yeah.
But the night before would have me irritated too. Because maybe I thought that we were farther along than, you know? I don't know. It really going to have to depend on how far they thought that relationship. There may have been a disconnect on who thought how. Yeah, he was farther along in the relationship than she was. And maybe she agreed to catch up. But the question is, you know, is she responsible for the gap? That's one of those things that's really dependent on specifics, but the emotion, feeling.
I felt like it still bugs me. I was with someone 2 weeks before I met you.
Yeah.
Well, that bugs me.
Yeah, but we're also older. So there's a couple different things, right? One, we've been around the block before, but two, we have different. There's different cultural standards for people our age than people their age.
Yeah.
So, but no, to answer I'm going to go back and answer the exact answer to the question asked. Am I stupid for feeling sick about it? No, you're not. It's a perfectly reasonable feeling.
It is.
Do we have an answer for your emotions? No, we don't, but we have lots of opinions about it.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, what's next?
My 28 male girlfriend, 26 female of 4 years, is actually 22. How can I move past this? She lied about her age. She was 18 and she said she was 22 when they got together.
So it's still only 6 years. It's not the age difference.
It's 4 years.
No, it's 6 years. She's 22, he's 28.
Oh, yeah. So it's only 6 years.
So the age difference isn't that big of a deal, so it's not really the age difference, even though I think if I'd have known she was 18, it would have been too young for me at the time, and I would. Except she was clearly emotionally mature enough to pass as
a 22-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, which, of course, a 22 and 18-year-old, there's not that much of a difference. So it's feeling betrayed, right? You thought that she was one age, and now that she's not, what else has she not been honest with you about? Mm. That's the real issue. It's not the age difference. It's what else isn't real. That's the question. And to move past that, you're going to have to decide, is this the only thing?
Yeah.
And she may have just been an insecure 18-year-old. Thinking, trying to be more than she was, so you'd pay attention to her. It may be no simpler than that, right? Maybe no more complicated than that, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
right? Just being a stupid decision that an 18-year-old was. Now she's caught in it. And so now what's she going to do? Hopefully she could have learned her lesson and do that kind of thing again. Because at 18, you do those kind of things for reasons that you can't explain.
Yeah, that's very true.
So it could just be that moment of stupidity that then she was stuck in for 4 years and now finally have to deal with it. It could be nothing, right? It could just be a stupid 18-year-old decision that you get stuck in, which is why you don't tell people you like food if you don't like it. Because you'll get stuck eating that crap for the next decade. I'm just pointing out, that's the exact reason why. Oh yeah, this is great. Then you're going to get fed that thing every time you go over there. Just don't start any kind of relationship with a dishonesty, because it just causes all kinds of problems. That's all I'm saying.
This is why you should never fake during sex.
Yeah.
My exact same philosophy.
Just saying. Okay.
Okay. My 33 male girlfriend, 32 female, was awful to her exes. Should I be worried I'm next?
It depends how much she has matured.
People can mature and grow.
Yeah, I mean, especially since she, you know, I'm assuming she was in her 20s during those two things. Now, has she? Is a question only you can answer. So, should you be worried? Probably. Yeah. And you have to assume, has she grown? There's signs. Trust me. If she's matured or not, there'll be signs. But that ship has sailed, by the way. So... You're already the girlfriend.
You're already in, dude.
Yeah, that roll of the dice has already been rolled. That dice has already been rolled. So you better hope she has matured. How's that? Okay, what's next?
My husband, male, 29, gave me, 26 female, an ultimatum. Stop people pleasing or we're getting a divorce. How do I even respond? Well, she has a friend who even she acknowledges is taking advantage of her. But she doesn't have many friends. This person is going through a rough time in their life, and she's given him a chance. But the husband just can't handle it.
No, he can't take it anymore. You've reached his limit.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing for you to be getting taken advantage of, but at some point he's becoming taken advantage of at the same time. Mm. Right, you're a package deal. So, you know, he's feeling taken. What this is saying is he's feeling taken advantage of by her, and he's asking you to not do it, and you don't respect him for that, even though you acknowledge that you're being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. If you had a disagreement on some fundamental issue, then it's different. But she knows it.
Yeah.
So the question is, what's more important to you? Why is pleasing a friend more important than pleasing your husband? You said she doesn't have many friends. Well, now you're not going to have a husband because you're so worried about losing a friend that's probably not even a good friend. Mm-hmm. So why is that one more important? Mm-hmm. It's the bigger question to ask. I wouldn't actually, it's not the divorce you need to worry about. It's how you got there. How you got to this point. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to do. Spend some time with yourself. Talk to a therapist.
Definitely talk to a therapist. You need some help. You need some support through this.
Yeah, because there's if she's more worried about losing a friend who's not a friend than losing her husband. Right?
Yeah.
Her husband shouldn't have had to get to a point where it's getting to a divorce, right? It's not like my guess is they've had this discussion more than once. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't come as a surprise. So why hasn't it been enough? This is a relatively simple one. If there's a friend who's causing a major disruption in your life.
Yeah, I was just thinking to use that word.
It's causing a major disruption in your life, and you admit that their friend is causing a major disruption in your life, and your choice, it shouldn't be an easy choice. It shouldn't be a difficult choice. So why is it? Mm-hmm. That's the question if I was her, that's the question I'd be asking myself. Why is this a difficult choice for me? Mm-hmm. And maybe the only person who can get it out of you is a therapist.
Yeah.
Or you can answer it yourself, but that's the question I would be asking myself.
There we go.
Because the response isn't to your husband, the response is to yourself in the mirror. That's the response you've got to work through. Okay.
Okay. I, 41 male, received an ultimatum from my girlfriend of 7 years, 36 female.
Hold on. All right, let's try that again.
I, 41 male, received an ultimatum from my girlfriend of 7 years, 36 female. Have kids immediately or break up. How do I respond?
But we got second one, how do I respond, ultimatum. Well, do you want kids or not?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple question.
36, her clock is ticking, dude.
And this is clearly important to her. She wants a family.
Yeah.
And you have to respect that one way or the other.
Either pony up or let her go.
Yeah.
She can go find that family she needs.
If you love her, let her go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't want kids, and that's your choice, I'm not going to judge you for not wanting to have kids. But there comes a point where if you love her, you have to let her go.
Yeah.
Or you have to join her on this journey. Or try to join her on this journey, right?
Yeah.
You have to agree to try to join her on this journey. And, okay, we're men. We're good at this, right? We're good at making these kind of choices. One way or the other, once the decision is made, we make it come hell or high water and we move on, whichever decision we make. Just make a thoughtful decision. No, I can't. I'm not going to be a good father, you know. Okay, I love you, but I'm moving on so you can have the life you want. Or, you know what? I'm afraid that I'm not going to be a good father. My parents were terrible, but I've come out to be a pretty good human being, so maybe there's some hope. So, okay, I'm willing to go on this journey with you. You believe in me, so okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the thing is, you have to make it now.
Yeah. Sorry. You're...
It's not even a sorry. It just is. Life is like that.
Well, I guess. You know, yeah, it is.
It's not even sorry. It's just,
well,
you know, it just is.
I just don't like ultimatums.
Yeah, but I get it. Her clock is ticking. She wants a family. And she's going, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then if she wants a family and you don't, you have a fundamental disagreement on the direction of your relationship. And so what happens is you love each other, but you move on or you go down a different path.
Okay.
All right.
My friend, 27 male, had sex with his partner while I, 27 female, was sleeping in the same room. Grounds to cut him off or no? I would be having a serious discussion, dude.
Wait. It depends. I suppose.
I'd have to ask, what the heck was that, man? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, probably. But
knock it off.
In your mid-20s, I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff that happens in your mid-20s that you wouldn't do when you're older. So I don't know. Should they probably have been more discreet? Yeah, probably. Is it? Am I going to say it's a big, huge deal? No, probably not.
Yeah, he doesn't want it to be a big deal. Uh-huh.
But, because it wasn't about her. She's making this about her. It had nothing to do with her.
Clearly it had something to do with her.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Uh-huh, because she was there. You don't have sex with lived in the room with another person.
Oh, you have never, clearly never slept in a dormitory start situation with a whole room full of people.
I have. I've been in there, but I've never done it.
Well, have other people? It wasn't about you.
Not in a big room, but with roommate. With a roommate, yeah.
Yeah. You know, your roommate wants to still have their fun.
But we had an understanding, you know. We didn't blindside each other.
I'm just saying. I don't think it had anything to do with her. They weren't thinking about her. Clearly.
Well, what kind of friend is that?
Well, a guy friend wouldn't complain. We would have pretended to be sleeping. Just saying.
But it's not a guy friend.
We would just say, can you guys, the biggest thing, can you guys hurry up? Which Mitchie, you might have actually said. We wouldn't have made it, guys wouldn't have made a big deal out of it. Ain't about us. So maybe it's just a different perspective. Mm. All right, what's next?
My boyfriend, 24 male, became his sister's sperm donor without telling me, 24 female. Should we try to work it out?
What? Is this like a stepsister or a half-sister?
No. His sister wanted a child.
Uh-huh.
Her husband couldn't.
Okay.
So, they asked him.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah.
I'm just not sure how genetically that works.
Well, apparently it worked out okay.
Well, it's a sperm donor thing. I don't know why it's such a big deal. If you're talking about a couple who has, other than me not understanding why you'd want your brother to be your sperm donor, I'll leave that question alone. Because that's not the question asked. Because that one I don't have an answer for. But from the sperm donor thing, no. If someone you care about needs a sperm donor, you know, if your brother's brother needed a sperm donor.
What if your brother needed an egg? I mean, would you give him one of your eggs?
So, yes. Is it a little just for the thing?
It's a little off, but, you know.
It seems a little off, but maybe today's genetics, maybe they can make that work, you know.
Right.
You know, genetic engineering or whatever. I guess I'm not going to question that part of it. But if you think of it would you donate an egg or a sperm to your brother? You know, forget the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they needed it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like donating a kidney, I suppose, on some.
Yeah.
On
some. Yeah. It's, you know, if you can, you do it.
But yeah, I do understand why you would feel a little weirded out by that particular configuration, you will call it. I do kind of get that.
Okay, can I pick and choose in the next topic?
Yes, we're past time, so.
Okay, great. Okay, this is interesting. New boyfriend is obsessed with glasses.
Okay.
She found out he had a thing for glasses.
Okay.
So she ordered a pair online.
Okay.
He flipped out.
Yeah.
And now he wants her to wear them all the time.
Yeah.
And he won't do it with her unless she's wearing glasses.
Well, that is the danger when you tickle somebody's fancy like that. Is they have a...
They finally got a hold of a willing partner, and they're not going to let it go, man.
Yeah. Well, what you can do is, one, realize initially there's going to be this initial thing of excitement, and it will calm down, especially. And let's face it, you got lucky with glasses.
Yeah.
It's glasses. It's not the end of the world. So you're going to have to make a decision on how big of a deal it is. You may look very sexy in glasses. So
you think so?
Clearly. So, you know, but maybe you do. Maybe you've got glasses work for you, or maybe not. I don't know. But you're just going to have to ultimately make a decision how far down this rabbit hole you're willing to go. And when you get to that point, tell him this is as far as I'm willing to go. And he'll likely accept it. He'll whine and moan and about it a little bit, but you know, go a little, make the line a little first and negotiate a little bit, make them happy.
Yeah.
Push that line farther than you actually want, than you're willing to go, and back off. Give them some, leave yourself some negotiating room and leave them happy. That's my suggestion. You know, but yeah, see how far you're willing to go with it. Knock yourself out, and when you reach that point.
But and here again, you got kind of lucky.
You got kind of lucky with glasses.
Yeah, with that one, with glasses, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and maybe it can be a clue. Hey, when you're feeling amorous, you put some glasses on. When you're not feeling it, you don't put your glasses on. Easy signal for him. Right? So, there are some benefits to this. Just saying. So you'll figure it out. Have some fun figuring out the lines.
There you go.
That's my suggestion. Have some fun while you're figuring out the lines. All right.
There you go. Why is the idea of women having sex for the fun of it still such a foreign concept to people?
Foreign concept to who?
She is, you know.
I mean,
she's an adult.
Uh-huh.
She's single. She doesn't want to get in a relationship. She wants to play the field right now and have a good time.
Uh-huh.
And apparently she's getting a lot of guff for it.
Well, because guess what? She missed the boat. 5 years ago, she would have been able to, but people now want more stability in their lives. Right? There's always, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Every single time. When we had the sexual freedom of the 60s, it came by with kind of a more repressive 70s and 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kick back. The late 60s, early 70s were kind of sexual freedom. The late 70s, early 80s, it kind of kicked back. We had a whole bunch of sexual expression in the last 10 years or so. The pendulum is swinging. And she's finding herself on the leading edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're a half-attractive young woman, you can go out and have sex for the fun of it all you want. But there are consequences to that, emotional consequences to that, you know, she'll have to accept or not. But other people have chosen not to accept those consequences.
Yes.
Yeah. Her potential partners have decided to not accept those potential consequences. So, but I'm rejecting her initial, the thing. People have accepted women like to have sex for the fun of it, quite frankly. Even the repressive religions understand women like to have sex for the fun of it. That's why they're repressive. They're trying to repress that nature. That's the whole point of the repressive nature. So it's not a foreign concept at all. Not at all. She's just unhappy that for whatever reason she's having difficulties right now. So, but that's just, I don't know. Go to a bar at 2 a.m. My guess is you won't have any difficulties.
No.
Finding.
I never did, and I didn't go at 2 a.m.
I mean, finding the type of person you want to bring home at a bar at 2 a.m.
Well, there was that. I got stories. Yeah.
Yeah. See, you know, like we said, actions have consequences. So my guess is not that she's having trouble finding people who are be willing to. She's having people that
judge her.
Yeah. She's having trouble people she wants to bring home. She wants high standards while other, right? But the people who have those type of people don't have loose standards.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're more careful with where they're putting their, they have more to lose. So they're more careful with who they engage with. Yeah. So, all right.
Wife wants to start a free use relationship.
What the heck does that mean?
Well, apparently you throw down anytime, anywhere the other one says.
The wife wants to start this.
Yeah.
Someone's running through a high hormone stage. I'm just saying, that won't last all that long. I suppose you could make a argument that, you know, run with it while you can, but I don't know. I don't see how that ends up really well, to be honest. But, you know, have some fun with it. Have go it on a week by week basis. Have a free use week and see what happens.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, just see what happens. Maybe once a year you get a free use week or something. Who knows? But I would try something like that more than I don't jump in with both feet on this one. It's Hal's said my suggestion. Have some fun. Knock yourselves out. Just don't jump in with both feet on this one.
That's my suggestion. Have fun.
Yeah.
While it lasts.
Yeah, while it lasts.
Yeah.
Because age and all that and whatnot. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you guys also like to playfully annoy your boyfriend when you're trying to initiate sex? She likes him a little bit angry.
Oh, that's healthy.
Slightly miffed.
That's healthy. That's a red flag right there. I'm just saying. Hey, I get some role play, and most people aren't all that good at acting, and I get all that, but man, anger sex, I get that it can feel more passionate, but long term, that's just a bad road to go down.
It's a bad little system you're setting up, habits.
Yeah, it's a bad habits you're setting up. My guess is to try to find, hopefully your boyfriend is open up to more acting in the relationship and be more, thank you. We're having issues with, audio tonight. I'll have to fix those in post. All right, so hopefully her boyfriend is open to having, what shall we call it? More acting in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you can get better at that. Because quite frankly, you don't want to have a long-term intimate relationship with someone who gets off on anger sex. It's not the time you... I can get it on occasion. All right, it can be fun here and there, but all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a bad road to go down for me. But, hey, clue them in. How's that? Clue them in what you're doing and see how that is. Because this is actually, now that I think about it, is kind of an unfair manipulation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, tell him what you try to do. Explain it to him. You may get a better response than you think. Mm-hmm. So, there we go. That's my suggestion. Sometimes it takes me a while to get to it.
Yeah.
Have to work through it. All right.
Okay, last one. Is being inexperienced a turnoff for men?
No. Nothing's a turnoff for men like that. We don't care about those kind of things.
No?
Well, men don't, right? As a general rule of thumb, the younger the man is, the more inexperience is a turn on for them. And I suppose there's a small subsect of men who prefer inexperience for whatever reason. But as a generic rule of thumb, after about the age of, 26, 27, we don't care. Then it's quite simple why, right? Because how can you? By caring, you're greatly limiting your chances of success. you're limiting your it's like, you're fishing in a pool without very many fish, right? Yeah, it's dumb. It's not a good strategy for finding a mate, right? So that's why we don't do it. So that's why we don't care. It's not some, we'll call it maturity, but it's actually a practical decision.
Apparently so.
And what's the one thing we know about men? We are practical. We are practical people. We are practical. So, yes. So, is it inexperience a turn off? No. I mean, I suppose being inexperienced is probably, in the grand scheme of things, a turn on more for more men than a turn off. But that's circumstantial at best. Yeah, as a general rule of thumb, don't care that much.
Okay.
Each thing has its own benefits and not, mm-hmm. you know, just like anything else. You know, do you really want to have to go? You know, if you're 30 something, you're 35, do you really want to have to teach somebody? You know, I suppose it could be fun helping someone explore their own sexuality, I suppose. But do you really want to go through all that? Maybe you do. You know, maybe you don't. So whether you like that kind of thing is entirely dependent upon
your predilections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you know, your mood for that particular day, for all we know.
Yeah. It may not feel like it tomorrow. Yeah.
Hey, man, getting old is not fun. Okay, we're out of here. Man, we didn't do any of our normal, our supposed KUBU drops and whatnot, so I'm going to have to do those post-production.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. We still haven't done any of our promos, our 30-second, 15-second, and 1-minute commercial things. I have to think about those, and I haven't had time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out of here for tonight. We want to thank you for joining me, for joining us, for me and Lubby. Have a good week. Good night. And please remember to love everybody.
Good night.